Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the years of my life as a disciple of Jesus, I have to admit I fretted my fair share over my calling to be a witness of His. Most of my struggle with being a witness has stemmed from a fear of rejection from others. What will they say? How will they respond if I tell them about Jesus? And because I've often been guilty of caring more for the regard of people than for God's favor given me in Jesus. There have been many times when I failed to speak up when I should have. And after my omissions, I feel crippling guilt and I feel angry at myself for my weakness. I've been tempted sometimes to despair over my failures. I felt compelled at other times to share my faith to try to make up for my past missed opportunities, desperate to convert somebody to relieve my aching conscience. It's a cycle of misery that I can't free myself from. I need help. And so did the official from the court of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. As we heard in Acts chapter 8, he was on his way home from Jerusalem, returning from pilgrimage there. He was a convert to Judaism. As he rode on his chariot, he was puzzling over a passage of scripture. He read from Isaiah's 53rd chapter, and he wondered what it meant. He needed help. God saw that the man needed help, and so he sent his angel to Philip. Philip was a disciple of Jesus who had been driven out of the city of Jerusalem sometime before by a persecution, and he had resettled north of Jerusalem in the region known as Samaria. And there, for quite some time, he had been preaching the gospel of Jesus to the people of that land. But then, despite the fact that he had a good, strong ministry going there, the angel of the Lord appeared to Philip and told him to leave and to go back down south, to go to the road that ran between, along the desert between Jerusalem and Gaza. And there, when he arrived, Philip met an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, on his homebound journey. Directed by the Holy Spirit, Philip approached this man, and he joined him in his chariot, and then he led him in a life-changing Bible study. Isaiah 53, the chapter over which the Ethiopian labored, is a prophetic description of the suffering and sacrificial death of the Christ. As we hear it read each year on Good Friday, we have no trouble seeing Jesus as the one who fulfilled it all. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. We see Jesus in Isaiah's words because we've been blessed with a gift that Ethiopian man lacked. A faith birthing hearing of the gospel of Jesus. Well, Philip saw to that need. In Isaiah 53, he found the place where he could tell this man about Jesus and what he had done for him. And the Spirit opened the man's heart to see and believe in Jesus as Isaiah's suffering servant and the Savior of the world. Philip baptized him along the way, and they parted, well, as mysteriously as they had met. And to this day, Christians in Ethiopia identify the royal official as the one who brought the good news of Christ to their homeland. His witness must have captured the hearts of many. One early church historian also tells us that Matthew the Apostle spent time in Ethiopia preaching and teaching. And we do know that by 330 AD, Faith in Jesus Christ was named the religion of the land by its king. Now, the meeting of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch may also be more than just one of the many episodes that Luke records for us in his history of the early church that we call the Acts of the Apostles. Because there's a passage in Isaiah 56 that sounds very much like a promise that was at least partly fulfilled with this Ethiopian man's conversion and later the evangelization of his nation. From Isaiah 56. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. Can you see the connection? I mean, there's eunuchs are mentioned and the faithfulness. This man was, a Gentile who was converted to Judaism, so faithful to the Lord. But then he hears the gospel of Jesus, and now he's one of God's people. And it sort of prefigures all the gospel going out to all people of the world. But there's something else about our reading from Acts chapter 8 today. If, like me, you struggle with your calling from Christ to be his witness, this word of God offers us precisely the help that we need to persevere and to grow in boldness. The first thing, though, is that we shouldn't be overawed by the extraordinary or supernatural aspects of this story. The fact that God sent his angel to speak to Philip. It's remarkable, yes, but it wasn't essential to what happened. Even the Spirit's mysterious guidance speaking to Philip in his heart was not the center of the action. The reason I want to point that out is sometimes when we're struggling to be bold enough to witness to somebody, one of our excuses is, well, if I could just have a miracle right now that would make it clear to me that this is the person I'm supposed to talk to. That's not why Luke tells us those things. What's important in this reading today, the greatest miracle of all, is what happened when Philip told the man about Jesus. It was through that we know the Holy Spirit was at work most mightily, even though it was invisible and not flashy. Why? Because Scripture teaches us that faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. That it's the gospel of Jesus, the good news that though we are sinners, God gave his Son to be our rescuer. It's through that message that the Holy Spirit gives birth to faith in our hearts and makes us new, forgiven people in Jesus. That's the miracle of miracles. Through the gospel that Philip preached, God gave that Ethiopian official the help that he needed, both to understand the passage he read from Isaiah and to trust in the one of whom it testified. In the same good news of Jesus, God gives us the help that we need to serve as his witnesses. From the cross, we learn that we need much more than anything we could ever hope to gain by not offending people, by not saying anything, or trying to avoid the anger of a man or a woman. Before God, we stand guilty of all sin and eternally condemned for our unbelief and our disobedience. But the crucifixion, death of our Lord, was heaven's chosen means of truly satisfying God's righteous anger against humanity for our failures to trust Him as our Creator and to love and serve Him through our neighbors. On the cross, Jesus earned for us the eternal favor of His Father. No longer does God look at us at anger when we feel afraid to speak up for Him. No, He forgives us for those sins as we confess them before Him. Jesus wore the filthy rags of our sins as His own clothes when He hung on the cross, so that He could bequeath to us the holy robe of His righteousness before God. No human praise from other people could compare to the peace of knowing that God, for the sake of Jesus, is pleased with us. Here is peace and joy that overcomes our guilt, our despair, and our fear. For we know that Christ died and rose to forgive us for our failures to be His faithful witnesses. Neither the devil nor any unbelieving human being can prevail against the power of God's good news of salvation through His Son. This is the life-giving message that we all trust for our salvation. The message entrusted to us to share as we rub shoulders with our neighbors day by day. Like Philip, we have no idea in advance how our hearers will respond. God knows. But we do know that Jesus is our Savior, for God has promised and He doesn't lie. We do know that Jesus died and rose to be every person's Savior. And we know that God's Spirit will work through our gospel witness to call others to faith. If they believe, we can rejoice with them. If they don't, if they reject us, even if they attack us in some way, they can't rob us of God's saving grace. So we pray for them. We forgive them. We continue our witness in word to them as God gives us chances. Because Jesus lives, we live to make the goodness of our Lord known to our neighbors. Because Jesus lives, we make Jesus known to our neighbors. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your rich forgiveness for my sins against You, my weakness and failure to trust in You. Oh God, thank You that Christ took all of our sins upon Himself on the cross. Embolden us by the power of Your resurrection, through the Holy Spirit and the Word, to trust You unswervingly, and to boldly and with love and compassion speak Your words of life to our neighbors each day. And You, O Lord, we trust to do Your will through that good news, that message of life. In Christ's name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.